Hey Fadies, thanks for listening to The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and this is Chapter 5, Episode 21. I'm really glad you're here, because we are getting super close to the end of Chapter 5, and things are shaping up to get pretty epic. Alrighty, let's recap. Last time, the Apple Squaddeth found another golden orb in a room filled with skeletal remains of adventurers past. They rejoined their friend Stephen the Spider, before opening a black stone wall revealing a winding staircase going deep beneath the dungeon. They came to a cavernous room with 12 strange doorways, each of which packed quite a bite, as they tried to determine which one contained their true path.
Imaginary time with my friends, imaginary time. We're all friends in imagination, we're all got an imagination. Don't think about when you were 9, things happened that were very fun. You were 14, they were even worse, but now you're an adult, it's okay.
That felt strangely prepared.
I feel like outbarded for a second there. Can I just mention too, it is August here in New Zealand where we're recording this, which makes it RPG a day month. How exciting! Yay! Everybody does a whole lot of RPG stuff about prompts every day. Technically, the prompt of the day today, Brad, is vision. So if you'd like to input the word vision somewhere into this episode, then you would be partaking in RPG a day.
We shall see if I can put vision in there somehow.
Yeah.
I liked how you said it's August in New Zealand, like it wasn't...
Well,
August in other places in the world.
I was like, oh, it's the 1st of August. And just
yeah,
well,
okay,
I'm
yeah.
just very aware that people listen to these episodes way not at the time that we've released them. So,
Yeah.
It
just made it sound like, you know, I know we have different seasons, but for a second I thought I had, like, misinterpreted something. I'm like, is that July in America right now?
You know, when the Southern Hemisphere has August, the Northern Hemisphere has 1974.
Are the star signs still the same?
It's the weirdest
same.
Thing. So, in the last thing that happened, I didn't know how I was going to end that sentence. Last time... last session, thank you. Words are important and have meanings. You retrieved an orb together. Hooray! What a heroic thing to do. You conquered a pit. Wow, a hole in the floor. You heroes. You went down some stairs with your giant spider friend, Stephen. You found a cavernous room with stalactites hanging from the ceiling and loose debris and rocks and pebbles and things around the floor, and 12 doors carved into the wall. There were 3 at the top, 4 in the middle, and 5 along the bottom, so they're arranged in sort of a pyramid kind of shape on the wall. And as you went through, or tried to go through some of these doors, you were blasted with various kinds of power. And met many dead ends and got hurt several times in the process. As we left it, you had come up with a plan that Marley was going to go through the one in the middle level over to the right. The Arcus was going to go bottom left, which is the only door on the bottom that hasn't been tried yet. And Banfall was going to go up to the very top and try the top left. And you had decided Hodge was going to do something, but you hadn't said what.
Mm-hmm. Hodge was just going to go through the door next to me.
Okay, so if Marley goes middle right, then Hodge is going to go through the middle level and second in from the right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Arcus used their religious knowledge to determine that they've seen or at least studied temples and things like this before, and they ascertain that these doors are a show of power due to this being part of a temple for Krover, the god of power, and that the failed doors blast you with a show of power to show that you've failed, power is better than you. But whichever door is the true way will not hurt you. So you have that knowledge.
I helped.
I don't really think it helps us solve it unless you have to be like, bow before you walk through.
It does mean, though, that you now learn that all you need to do is sort of cross the threshold instead of going in, looking for the end and going, oh, and then coming back out.
Yeah, but we still have to do this like, process of elimination, it seems. So,
hypothetically, can we just put our hands in, or do you think it's the whole crossing?
No one's tried.
Yeah, that's what I want to try.
And I'll drop you one more little reminder/hint. Is that last time you guys forgot that Arcus has on their person a magic item called Smarty Pants, which gives them 2 good ideas a day.
Should I try?
And they don't belong to Arcus either. By the way, Arcus is just the first one to try them on.
I don't have any other clothes though, so we may be back at a point of indecent exposure if you take them off me, but I am willing to give them up. Pants are a confine.
Yeah, I think in terms of like whether I would do anything different right now, Marley and Hodge would still be walking through their doors. So
okay, so you're going to climb up to the middle level. So climb up one of the ladders on either side.
Yeah.
Presumably, if you're going to climb up the ladder on the right, if you're going to the right doors on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Marley, if you try and go into the one on the far right on that level, roll me a d6.
That would be a 6.
You die a little inside as you take 8 necrotic damage.
Sounds fair enough.
So your crossing of the threshold, what did you do? Did you like walk right in or did you try the hand test?
I think I would have like walked across the threshold, but as soon as I felt like I was dying inside, stepped backwards so I don't have to like cross all the way through. Like I pull back out again, if you know what I mean.
Do you think you pull out quite recklessly and like quite quick, like you jerk back?
What are you trying to ask me, Brad? Is this a sexual question or
no? It's a logistics question about what your character is doing in this fictional world we've created together.
No, I think she just sort of like registers the pain, and then kind of steps back out and kind of like, is there a ledge? Like
yeah,
how much?
It's a ledge.
Yeah.
You're on a ledge. That's why I ask.
Yeah, so I'll just step back onto the ledge and kind of watch as Hodge walks through his door, you know?
Cool. What's anyone else doing? Are you doing yours or are you waiting?
I want to put my hand through. I want to try to do that.
Okay, so Arcus is at the bottom left door?
Yeah, I'll keep going until I feel an amount. Like if nothing happens when I put my hand through, I won't take it out.
Okay, roll me a d6.
I got a 1.
You get blasted with a huge fireball and you take 6 damage. Although I think your resistance, you halve that to 3.
Oh yeah, I am fire resistant. I pull my hand out and like I clutch it to myself. I pull it out into me. And then I yell out, you don't have to go all the way through.
And Banfor, are you going for the top left?
Top left, yep.
Okay, so you've climbed up a ladder. Do, 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 do. That's the sound of climbing for anyone who wants to play the home game. And you try that top left door and roll me a d6.
5.
Okay. This bright white light sort of shines very brightly as you cross through the door and you take 10 radiant damage.
Did I enter a rage when I was doing this?
No.
It doesn't last for very long anyway.
Hodge goes through his door. And Marley, make a perception check.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, fuck. I've already rolled a d6 because I had that in my hand. Sorry. Plus 4. So that is a 12.
Okay. You notice that as he walks through, he gives no obvious signs of any kind of pain.
Okay.
Ooh.
Mmm.
Is that like one of the most middle doors?
Yeah.
Feels like the obvious choice that we should have gone with first.
There's literally no way to know.
Well, I was selected at random using a d12 before we started this.
I feel like it clearly wasn't obvious or we wouldn't have already tried. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 doors.
I mean, that assumes that we're smart.
I dropped the hint multiple times that this room is filled with debris and like loose pebbles and things.
Yeah, we're clearly not smart because I counted 9 instead of counting the 3 doors and then just taking that away from 12.
Could we have thrown stuff through?
Yes. Yes, you could have.
God, we're dumb.
I assume
just because of the brick, you know?
I just assumed that it would have to be a living thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's just an assumption you made.
Yeah, because, like, how do you show necrotic damage, though, to something that's, yeah, like...
I guess you don't, but the other types are very obvious.
Yeah, the other types would have been smart, but... Ah, what a time.
Yeah, we dumb. We dumb as hell.
Big brain energy.
To all of the fadies out there that are, like, screaming in frustration because they probably knew that, I'm sorry.
I mean, like, it wouldn't be unreasonable to assume that that was something that a DM would do. But at the same time, we did skip quite a basic step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I can say is, ladies, you don't listen to us because we're smart.
We did that other session where we, like, got through the cobwebs really quick and then befriended the spider. So this is just payback, right?
Yeah, we also didn't take any damage on, like, the trap hallway that we thought was, like, way worse than it turned out being. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't participate.
You're all very high-level adventurers, that's the thing. Like, not every challenge out there in the world is actually going to be a challenge for you.
Mm.
That's just realism.
Okay. So, anyway, seeing that Hodge doesn't appear to be, like, whining or trembling or anything, like, you know, wolves would if they were hurt, I pat him and walk through as well, just to check.
You receive no kind of damage.
Okay.
Just walk into a cave.
I poke my head back out and I go, this one didn't hurt.
Great.
That's what she said.
When entering the tunnel. something about Freud and his fear of trains.
Mm-hmm.
such a lazy joke. Something instead of punchline later.
But I'll just set the premise for you. That's funny. Something Freud. I mean, any excuse to make fun of him. I want to go to the there, that place.
Okay, so you climb up to the middle level and cross past some other doors and presumably enter what I've called door number 6.
I mean, that makes sense because you've counted down from the top. Cool. I'm walking down the corridor by this point, like, because I imagine Arcus takes a while to climb the ladder and stuff, and so I'm probably walking down to see if it actually goes anywhere as well.
It definitely seems to. Banfor, so you're at the top level, do you drop down and join them, or do you just chill?
Comes on down, hears the call and follows.
Okay, I'm shooting myself in the foot by reminding you, but does anyone try and get Steven to come with you?
Ooh.
Because he's just chilling on the ceiling in this cabin.
Yeah, I like Steven. Steven's my friend.
Let's bring Steven. Yeah. Steven's fun.
Yeah, but I might have to cast Speak with Animals again in order to explain this to him. Can I walk out and when I see that it goes somewhere and it doesn't end like the other ones, can I walk back out and kind of like gesture at Steven like, come on, buddy.
Yes, you can. You can do animal handling and I'll make it DC 22. For you to communicate what you want without communicating.
Okay. I didn't like that dice. That dice before gave me a shit roll, so I changed dice. Animal handling is a +6. What did I get? A 15. That's a 21?
Yep.
21. So not quite.
So it's very close. So yeah, he scuttles around the ceiling of the cavern down to where you are, and he just sort of like pats you on the head with one of his giant spider legs and then leaves. He just walks away and to like, presumably go back up the stairs you came down. So he's like, my time with you is done, sort of thing.
Oh. We're not going to hear the voice again.
Marley feels very sad. Like, Marley, like, is like, oh, friend. But, you know, that was nice.
I'm thinking of sending Steven to Dantonair to help Graham on the East Gate. It's the Graham and Steven show, isn't it?
You can go your own way. I would like to... and clap and then light myself up.
Okay, you are a beacon. What kind of cloudy hat are you wearing today, Arcus?
I can't remember what I said I was wearing last time. This time I'm wearing one of those it comes up and it's like a little umbrella on top of your head.
Nice. Little umbrella hat.
Little umbrella hat.
Very practical underground.
Yeah. Well, just a like just above it I formulate a rain cloud.
An ironic little rain cloud.
Yeah, I have a little cloud just above it, so it looks like it. Yeah, and every now and again,
who made a cloud umbrella to keep a cloud away?
Yes, and every now and again, I look towards Marley and Bamfor, and I'm like, looks like it. Like I look up at the cloud, and I'm like, looks like there might be a chance of rain. just to keep spirits up, you know.
Every time you make that joke, which I presume is like once every 90 seconds or so, your little mouse Rain pokes her head out of your your little cloudy pocket and just waves at them as if to like punctuate the joke.
That's amazing. That's everything. I'm very here for it.
So you and Banfor, I suppose, are leading the way down this tunnel since Marley sort of went out and back in.
Where are we on the healing apples front? Because I might take a little bit of a break and get myself a little bit of either healing dye or apple situation.
Okay. Yeah, you discussed that in character, I suppose.
We discussed that in character.
We had 10. Okay, so Bamfor, I really feel like we should keep these for like emergencies. We've only got 10 left.
Bamfor will then accept this logic and just have a can we have a little sit down? Is there time for a little sit down?
I mean, it's not it's really not the stupidest thing you've ever suggested, as Marley says in character.
Bamfor agrees in character also.
Because I could do with a short rest also.
Right.
And if I do a wee song of rest, then we can get some extra shit while we rest.
Okay, you can do that. You can sit down. The terrain, the environment that you're in, it's like a narrow winding cave, about maybe 10 feet wide. So it's comfortable enough that you can sort of move around, but it's not exactly like a big tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's all natural formation. Like it's all rocky and jagged. But you could find a place to sort of sit down a picnic blanket and chill. Have a nice romantic time.
And I put Hodge on watch.
Okay.
And then I pull out my saxophone and I start playing. I don't know why.
Romance.
Yeah, and basically if you're doing the whole hit points thing, like the hit dice thing, then you can gain an extra 1d6 because I'm doing Song of Rest.
Nice. I am indeed.
I will also.
Okay, while you're all resting, you notice Hodge sort of springs to attention and makes like a sound as if something is in your midst. And as you all look to like where he's sort of bloodhound pointing with his nose, you see sort of clawing out of the side of the cave, as if it's like part of the rock and then pulling itself from it, is this tiny, like 3 foot tall, rocky, demon-like creature. And then once it is out in the cave, it sort of bursts alight into like a bright orange color, like it's hot rocks. And it's very bird-shaped as well. And it just sort of stands about 10 feet away from your group, this rocky, larvary bird thing, and just says, "Hello."
I hug him.
Okay, so Arcus charges out and hugs this lava bird demon thing.
I only got to heal myself 1 point as well.
I got to heal myself 29.
As you hug it, you receive 3 fire damage, but it says, "Oh, that's very nice. Thank you for the hug."
That's nice.
"I like your song. It was a very nice song."
Oh, thank you. I try. And she's looking at this, like, lava bird thing, thinking, hey, I didn't even need to cast speak with animals. You speak common?
I'm not an animal.
Oh.
Banfor says, where are you from?
I'm from one of Krover's realms. In fact, I'm from Krover's realm. I'm one of his collectors.
Did you say Krover or Grover?
Krover. What is Grover? I do not know this.
I don't know. I think it might be a long-lost cousin of some sort.
What is Krover?
You don't know?
Well, not really.
I thought you would know. You are in his house.
Well, I mean, we sort of know, but why don't you tell us what you know, and then we'll...
I've been in a lot of houses of people I don't know at all, so...
Regale us with stories of your patron.
I am one of Krover's collectors. My name is Lipkatz.
Somebody paid a small amount of monthly, small amount of money on a monthly basis. It's got a similar name.
I've heard of Patreon.
I have heard of Patreon.
Wonderful.
Turns into an ad.
Check out patreon.com/FateOfIsen.
Fate of Isen on Patreon.
I am a power collector. Krover has many power collectors. He sends us to all the realms in which he has influence, and he has influence in many realms. We collect bits of power that are either loose or held by those that Krover deems unworthy, and we collect the power and we bring it back so he can redistribute it as he sees fit.
Oh, nice.
But I don't like Krover anymore.
Oh.
I've served him a long time, and lately he's been a bit of a dick. Excuse my language.
Oh my gosh, I gesture for him to come and sit with us, and like we've got a little picnic table out, right?
Oh, that's very kind. That's very kind. And the bird awkwardly shuffles towards you.
Yeah, yeah. I offer him some tea or something, and like, you know, spill the tea. Tell us what's the haps. Dish it out.
Hello, Queen. I just like to say, yes.
Hey, Oliver, stop appropriating my culture.
stop appropriating this conversation that has glaringly brought to light my own inadequacies.
Work.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what? I'm taking it back.
You can't take it back. It was.
I have taken it back. I am Columbusing yes. I am Columbusing it.
Right.
Consider it Columbus.
Taking it back. You're just taking it. Yeah.
No, the gays have had too much
what
fun.
What are you? The British Museum?
No, I am. The LGBTQ plus committee
too good.
Has had too much fun with the ass. You're all having too good of a time, and I'm here to stop you as a representative of the whites and the straights.
That's
I won't be having it.
That's okay.
I've had a couple of beers, and as a white man with a couple in me, I think I know what's best for everyone here.
It's okay. You can have our sloppy seconds. We're done with it anyway.
No, look, I'm going to cook them back up, and I'm going to call them something fun and European, and I'm going to pretend it was my idea. So thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, we all know you're going to take the spice out of it, though.
I know, but on the weekends, I'm getting choked by a daddy.
Have I said that I quit the podcast yet? Because I quit the podcast.
Every session, really.
You not like us?
I'm just these conversations, man.
What about them? They're cool and fine.
Hey, we did the poll, and everyone's pretty divided on why they listen, right?
So, you know.
If anything, we're inconsistent.
What we were careful to ask is whether they listen.
Yeah. That's what's important.
Okay, let's go back to the fun thing that was happening before that happened. We had a bird. We had a bird at a picnic table. That's what we had.
Yeah, and I was asking him to spill the tea about Krover.
Well, Krover is the demon of power. The god of power. I'm a demon of power. Ha ha!
But why, what's he done that's turned you off him?
Well, he has two, what's the best mortal word for it? Daughters, I suppose. And one of them seems very nice. One of them not very nice at all, no. And Krover seems to focus a lot more lately on the not very nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Krover, trying to destroy your plane, trying to destroy this material realm.
Yeah, is it Gilliff by any chance?
Oh, you know Gilliff. You don't know Krover, but you know Gilliff.
Oh, we've met Gilliff.
Oh.
What's the good sister's name?
Ampha.
Oh, you know Ampha too.
Oh. No, I don't know Ampha at all, and I'd be really interested to meet her.
You have met her on the road.
Oh, yes, I know, but exactly. So, we know about the Brute Wall coming down.
Brute Wall,
I
don't know of this Brute Wall. What is Brute Wall?
Well, the Brute Wall was like a prison for all of the big bad dragons that were rampaging around this world.
Oh, years dragons, ago. Yes, long gone from this world.
No, back, the wall came down. Well, I mean, that's what Paydet told us.
Dragons back. Okay, I'll keep an eye out for them.
So you didn't know that?
No, I only just came here. Because I had something to give to you.
I would have thought that, dragons would be the biggest power, and so as a power collector, you would have been, there.
I go where I'm told to go, except for when I came here to you. Don't tell anyone I was here.
Okay, well, let's deal with that then, because Molly has more questions, but also likes presents.
Yeah, what have you brought us? Yes. Show me the treatums.
Some raw power. I've just found it floating in one of the sub-realms. I don't know what you can do with it, but it might be useful.
I don't know what we can do with
right?
it.
Can you store that power somehow?
I don't know. I can.
Could we put it in, a locker between time and space that we use to talk to a god?
Or a person or an object?
Perhaps. I can put it in me. And then, reaches a wing inside, the side of himself. And then pulls out this just, little green rock. And goes, see? And then puts it back. And then pulls it back out and goes, whoops, this is for you. I can do this a lot. Not too much or I'll get caught.
Is it going to hurt us or change us in any kind of way to hold this?
I don't know. I've never given power to mortals before.
Oh, I was going to say we should ask the locker, but he can't talk to us.
No, he can't talk to us in here. Yeah.
Can I? Should we use our one good idea?
Yeah, put on the pants. Put on the pants.
Put on the pants. You're thinking pants.
I'm going to be a smarty pants. Yeah. What do I do?
If you're wearing the pants, basically, mechanically, you just need to tell me you're going to spend one of your ideas and then ask me what information and I'll give you just the DM's information.
Okay, cool. Okay. I want to know if we can put that in ourselves.
And survive it.
Can I insert?
Yeah. And survive. I want to know if I can go in me and if I can survive that.
You can all touch it. It's perfectly harmless. This one that that she, actually, but it's kind of irrelevant, that Litkites is giving you will give a +2 bonus to something, to an item of some kind.
Okay.
To an item.
So
+2, what part?
It depends on the type of item, but if it's a weapon, then it'll give you +2 to the hit.
Ooh. Could I put it in my lightning staff? Wait, can we each get some?
Do you have, a god present yet? Because Bamfor and I have got, he's got,
Arcus has the way overpowered lightning staff they haven't really used yet.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Put more power into it.
That, yes. That is what I was saying.
This is not much. Yeah. It's all I have for now. But from time to time, I can pop in and help you. If I'm passing by and I have something, but too much, it'll get suspicious. Krover will punish me.
That's valid.
But for now, this. And he It's still holding out this green, little green rock towards Arcus, or towards the group.
I imagine Arcus is kind of standing up the most curious, like, because that seems right, especially seeing as you've just hugged it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I don't mind, like, yeah, I don't mind someone else having it, but I could put it in my spear.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd put it in is either the saxophone or the crossbow, but both are, like, fine.
I'd just put it in the axe and keep hitting stuff.
I don't know, whatever. I think all of us would happily take it, but all of us are, like, being nice and polite right now, so.
I take it because I hate you all.
Oh, Veruca, salt.
You could give it to Hodge if you consider him an object, and his attack could get +2, his bite and stuff.
That's also true. That's yeah. I'm way too protective of Hodge. Like, Hodge actually has quite a lot of hit points and stuff, but I'm just like, no.
Not my Hodge.
Not my Hodge.
I can't stay too long. But before I leave, is there anything you'd like to know about Krover? I know Krover many thousands of years.
Do you know if he has a weak spot? Is there a good way to, like, fuck him up, you know?
I don't know if gods have weak spots, but I do know after your realm... Well, are you from this realm?
That's a long, complicated question.
Well, this realm that we're in, what a fun place. Every time there's a surge, Krover spends almost all of his power, and he becomes as weak as he could possibly be in the moments following.
Uh-huh. Noted.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Is there any way to, like, contact the good daughter that you know of?
I don't know. I could try and find her, I suppose. I mean, she'll probably just be wandering around looking for a wielder. That's normally what she does.
A wielder?
You don't know of wielders.
Help me out here, Brad,
yes.
Do I?
Yes. Haydet has told you of wielders, as has Sorghumul.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, no, totally. They're the thing that wield the surge, right?
Yes. Surge comes, Krover spills most of his power into the world, and the wielders gather it all up and become powerful themselves.
Wait, so Krover causes the surge?
Yes. The surge is kind of a release valve.
Oh. What the actual? Where does he... What? Like, a release valve for what?
Himself. He is power embodied.
But the surge destroys the world.
It's a lot of power.
What?
Right, so you need people to wield the power when it goes.
Otherwise, the world gets explodified and everything dies,
that's
basically.
Right.
Too much power all at once. The wielders are like sponges.
So
to soak it up.
How many wielders does she need?
As many as possible. More than zero. There were 12 last time, 800 years ago.
Ah.
Is Banfor thinking anything in this conversation?
It's just thinking about timing and that sort of business. And quite suspicious of this demon thing because they have a tendency to turn. So it's just sort of eyeing him across the picnic table.
Do you know when he's planning on doing this? Because isn't it like any day now, and hasn't it been any day now for almost 2 years?
For the whole podcast, yes.
Yeah.
But by the way, I have a full timeline of days that have passed during the podcast, and it's 44.
We've only been doing this for 44 days. Okay.
A month and a half.
Wow. Wow. We've made a lot of friends and a lot of enemies in 44 days.
But yeah, the surge is coming very, very, very soon.
Okay.
Krover's ready to burst.
Krover's like a pregnant woman. Waddling.
Right?
Yeah.
She a queen.
It work. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Well, where are you going?
I must be going back to my realm. I'll need to explain why I come back empty-handed, but I'll come up with something.
Okay, so the realm of just, like, weird power floating around.
Yeah, there are many.
Cool. I mean, I appreciate your help.
Right, thank you.
Okay. And then the... fiery magma bird thing waddles away from you a little bit, just a few feet, and puts itself up against a wall and then sort of becomes one with the wall and then just disappears into the rock.
I think Marley's just staring at Arcus with this rock in Arcus's hand, wondering what's going to happen. You know, like...
Right, yeah. I'll put it in the staff.
Yeah, if you have the intent to add it to the staff, and you're sort of holding the two close together.
I think very hard about how much I want it to be inside of it.
Oh God!
Oh, I want that inside the staff so bad.
I just can't.
Don't you dare, Bradley.
So desperate. So yeah, exactly.
So the green rock sort of starts to go misty, and then the green energy coming off it just shoots into the staff, and then the staff glows briefly and then fades, and the rock is gone.
And it was plus two attack, right?
Yeah. Plus two to your attacks. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Okay. So Molly stands up, swings her saxophone back around the back of her, and is like, "Right, this guy's going down. He kills the world over and over and over. Somebody's got to stop him from doing that." It's like not enough for her to have not killed a demigod or whatever. She's going to probably go and try and not kill a god.
What else is in the room, Brad?
It's just a natural formation rocky cave, like a tunnel.
Marley is already geed up, you know, like giddy up, Hodge, and has started walking down the hallway, because for some reason Bamfor has pulled off his boots and is cutting
nails. And oh, that was the IRL, but no.
Marley is really not into it, so she walks off. I've just decided
I would also leave.
That would probably be something Bamfor would do during a short rest. Like, I can kind of see it. So
over there, just biting his toenails.
It was once the boots were taken off that we realized it was time to move on.
It was like, has it been an hour? It's been an hour. Let's go.
Okay, so if you all continue down the corridor,
we do.
After about 20 to 30 minutes of walking sort of down this cave, which sort of lowers and raises and takes bends to the left and right. So it's very just, this is just like a natural, very natural cave. This is so natural. This is the most natural thing in the whole world.
Makeup. It's just really eat, pray, love, and the fuck out of being a cave.
It's just being its truest self.
It's just being its best cave.
You start to feel a warm breeze, like quite warm, like you're close to like a furnace or like a forge or something.
Ooh.
Okay. That's fun. I keep walking. I take off my my leather vest, put it in my bag.
Your AC goes down 3.
Yep, roll your AC. All of you roll a perception check.
Perception.
With an emphasis on sound, if anyone has advantages for sound-based checks.
I got a 12. I have no advantages on sound-based checks.
Brad? Yes. I may or may not have got a nat 1.
Okay.
Delicious.
I just wanted to
chaos
works on this.
Okay. And Arcus?
I got 13.
If the God of Knowledge can't reach us in here, can the God of Chaos? Can their power reach here?
They don't need to be there for the curse to happen. It's just...
Yeah.
It just kind of happens every time you...
Yeah. Oliver raised a very good question, which I hadn't thought of at all, because I hadn't factored in the Chaos Curse into what works here and what doesn't. Technically speaking, Arcus shouldn't have any powers here, because they get their power from Tritora, the god of weather and elements, being a cleric. But
that's true, actually.
I decided to deliberately pave over that little plot hole. Otherwise, Arcus would literally not be able to do anything or exist, I think.
I think you'll find that my religion means that my connection with my god is strong. My soul is tethered.
You can't take my faith from me.
You can't take my faith, Brad.
But yes, I'll say the Chaos Curse works because, as Jules just suggested, you've already been cursed. You brought the curse in here with you. Mm. So, roll me a D100.
All right. I'm looking forward to turning into a tree or a pig.
Tree.
Whatever interesting thing is going to happen to me this time. I will have a 91, please, Brad.
Sweet and sour pork with noodles.
Okay, this one's not negative in any way. Not in this context, but it could be negative in a different situation. Your skin turns bright glowing yellow for the next 6 seconds, and all enemies have advantage against you, but you don't have any enemies in here. You just start glowing a fierce yellow.
Do you?
I was rolling a perception check to look around, and my skin just starts glowing a bright yellow, and I'm like, whoa! Look, my vision is like real good now. Wait, shit! I think I blinded myself on my own skin!
I'm too bright for me. Arcus, that's your trick. Like, you're also lit up because, deliberately.
Right, I'm a little bit like, stepping on my game. All right.
Stealing your thunder?
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you turn it off? And she's like, clapping to see if it'll turn off.
I turn off.
It goes away after 6 seconds. Arcus also switches off. Now you're all in darkness.
Yeah. I clap back on.
Yeah. Marley's like clapping, like, and Arcus going on, off, on, off.
We need this. We need breaks, you know?
Okay. The two of you who rolled a 13 and a 12, you can hear a voice, like a distant, muffled voice, coming from down the corridor.
But no, like, discernible words.
Yeah, you rolled too low to really fully hear it, but you know that there is definitely a person talking somewhere in the distance.
Marley pulls out her saxophone again and is just like, continues the and you just
giving away our position further.
Just quietly.
Just quietly plays the saxophone.
Right. How do you quietly?
This instrument, known for its subtlety.
Well, I get out my super quiet bagpipes.
Yeah. I suffer.
Say whatever you like, but I need to do that in order to Bardic Inspire. So I do the Bardic Inspiration that gives you guys 8 temporary hit points as we move towards things. So. You're welcome.
Tip me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Thank you. That puts me in my max.
And then, they're only temporary. They go away if you don't use them within, I forget, something or other. But I figure we're about to need them, so.
Yeah, I'll stab myself, not.
Yeah.
Right.
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 And then I just keep walking, and Hodge keeps walking.
Yeah, I guess we go towards the sound, right?
We go towards the sound also, I guess.
As you continue down the corridor, it becomes a bit clearer and enough to make out that it is like a humanoid sounding and sort of like male sounding voice. In fact, Marley would recognize it as Drafer, the young magical servant of the former Empress.
Mm-hmm.
And you catch a conversation that's already in progress. And you hear that voice saying, like, I did what you asked. Empress, you promised you'd tell me where you're keeping my father if I did what you asked. It's done. And he starts, like, sobbing as well. Like, I need to find him before the search. Please, please, I need to find him. And that is met in response with a sort of gruff, growling, like, animalistic kind of voice. This is
yes, Drafer. I can smell them. The mortals you led straight to me. Go to the wellspring. I'll deal with the pests who foolishly followed you into my lair.
But there's no need to be rude.
My father, you You promised.
My father, boo-hoo. You mortals and your attachments. Disgusting. Your worm of a father has been at the wellspring this whole time. Now run along. Your magic is running low, and your father will not be safe with all those fun new creatures you've allowed to return to the world.
And then there's a sound that you guys have heard a few times of a portal opening.
And before he goes through, how far away is he?
You can't see. You can just hear this sort of echoing down the corridor.
Okay, I try and message him, because I know that message can go, like, through objects and stuff.
Distance 120, right?
Yeah, 120.
Okay, I'll allow it.
I message Dreyfer and I was like, it's Marley, I heard that, but I forgive you. Help us if you can.
Yeah, he replies instantly with, I'm sorry for everything. And then you hear the sound of just like the portal closing.
Yeah. But that's fine. I did my groundwork. I helped him. I have been nothing but helpful to him. One day, this shit is going to come back to me.
Remember when I could have murdered him?
Yes, I remember.
Saying.
But look at why he was doing it. Everybody's got their reason.
Everybody's got a family. We've killed how many people with families?
Yeah, but most
you
of them
killed Ben. You killed Ben Edwards' dream, and he came after you.
Who was that?
The food cart guy. My cabbages.
My cabbages. Like just livelihoods.
The only one I like have no regrets about and probably shouldn't have murdered straight out is Spritey. I still have no regrets about that. That guy was dying.
Echoing through your cave, you hear,
Miss Craft, Mr. Watt, you and your otherworld friends might as well show yourselves.
Yeah, Marley walks around the corner. She hops on top of Hodge. She wants to be, like, imposing when she walks around the corner, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you round a corner and then you see sort of at the end of, like, another 50 feet of corridor is, like, a very bright orange room. You can guess that this room is probably full of magma as the air is very hot as well. And standing on what looks like an island amidst a moat of magma is a very large red lizard, scaly beast. It is a dragon, resembling the like the three statues that you saw in one of the first rooms of this dungeon, and also resembling sort of the bone dragon you fought in Sorghumul's realm. But yeah, very large and very red.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just on all fours, looking at the tunnel that you're walking out of, just watching you approach.
Could I try and talk to it in Infernal? I don't know if that would be helpful or not.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can.
I speak Abyssal if that doesn't work.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Let's both call out, hey.
We both go, hey. And it comes out of like... What's up?
Technically, on paper, red dragons are supposed to only speak common and draconic, but because this is not technically a red dragon, this is Gilliff in a red dragon's skin. It speaks pretty much every language there is. It's been alive a long time and has traversed many realms. But yeah, you say hey in these various strange languages and it shoots back to one of you like and then like to the other.
Marley just goes, sup.
It was to one of you, pathetic attempts at mortal charms, and the other one was, whatever language you speak, you're still going to die.
Great.
Do we recognize this as Gilliff, or are we just supposed to be putting that together in our brains?
You tell me with the information you've got, and the fact that you came here to confront the resurrected Gilliff. That was your goal for coming here, but that doesn't necessarily mean this is 100% Gilliff in your...
We met a big spider, that could have been Gilliff.
No, that was Stephen.
We do...
Yeah, but she does voices.
Yeah.
Better than Stephen, arguably.
We do know that Gilliff resurrects as the most powerful thing in the realm. And we do also know we let dragons out. So those two facts are things we have. So I think we could put it together. I'm just trying to figure out if Marley would straight off the bat. Her intelligence isn't that high.
And the fact that you also heard Dreyfa saying to this dragon, presumably, I've done everything you asked me to do, Empress.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, okay, cool.
And then the Empress pops out from behind a rock, goes, it me.
What the?
So the room that this dragon is in, so yeah, it's like the inside of a volcano. And you, in fact, you could, if you were in the middle, you could look up and you could see the crater and like daylight coming in through it. But so there's an island in the middle, and it's surrounded by a 15-foot wide moat of lava running all around the sides. And in the very, very middle of this island, there is like a pool of like hot golden liquid. And the dragon is just standing next to the pool of gold.
I want to attack. I want to attack right now. I'm sick of us waiting around and not attacking and then getting the bested of. I want a lightning strike with my staff of thunder and lightning. That's what I want to do.
Okay. Do it. What does anyone else want to do?
If there's fightings, there's Banfor. So Banfor enters a rage upon seeing the lightning staff and waits for the cue to go.
Yeah.
Okay, bear in mind you're on the opposite side of a 15-foot lava moat to this creature.
Marley would...
Your boy's got mad hop and you know it.
And Marley would set Hodge into the air and just be like, you're going down, Gilliff. Like, and just, you know, be ready to go, like, because, you know, Marley and Hodge are going to fly over and fucking...
As Hodge lifts off, Banfor grabs an ankle. No. He's an ankle grabber.
Nice. Not an ankle biter. I like it.
So, Arcus, you're trying... You're going to do your lightning staff from a distance on the opposite side of the moat. And everyone else is hodging over to the island.
Yes.
Okay. We will roll some initiative to start that fight, and then we'll end the episode.
Okay.
How big is this island, Brad? Like, that the dragon is currently standing?
About 100 foot in diameter.
Okay, cool. Because I'm planning on me and Hodge being set down and then a little at a distance, but yeah.
Yep, and the crater of the volcano is probably about 200 feet above you.
I got a 12.
I got a 5.
Oh, what's my initiative? Oh, plus 5. Fuck. Okay. I got a 19.
Okay, it goes Marley, Gilliff, Banfor, Arcus. Is Hodge going to be an extension of you as an animal companion, or is he going to be his own combatant?
No,
I'll give you that. You have that call.
No, he's with me. He's a pet. That's fine. I've got two attacks now, so I can attack and he can attack or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So you've reached the end of a dungeon. And there's a dragon.
Dragon, yes.
Brad,
we did it, kids.
I'm really impressed with you right now. There is both dungeons and dragons in this episode.
We have both had a dungeon and a dragon.
Yep.
It's never been done before, folks.
Yep. You know what? It never is.
To wrap it up, instead of that's the end of the episode, can I get all of you saying the line that Jules said earlier, and try and do it in tandem, of you're going down, Gilliff.
Okay.
What sort of cadence are we doing? You're going down, Gilliff.
I reckon you're going down, Gilliff. Like, just straight. You're going down, Gilliff. Yeah.
I'm yelling, remember? Like that.
Yeah.
I don't. Let's do it. When are we doing it?
Okay. Are we going 3, 2, 1, go? Like...
On go.
Okay. 3, 2, 1... You're going down.
You're going down, Gilliff.
Okay, one more time.
Okay.
On go. On go. Instead of go, right? On go. Like
where I would say go, but
yeah.
I can.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. You're going.
I'm going down on you, Gilliff.
To get that dragon puss.
Honestly, if anyone was going to get it, it's your boy.
And that's the end of the episode.
Good call, JD. Good call.
That's how you burn your taste buds off. Do that right now.
A magma bird demon thing named Litkites has betrayed Krover to deliver our heroes little nuggets of power. Drafer, the powerful wielder who brought down the Brute Wall, was just trying to get his father back. And we did it, Fades. We finally did it. The appearance of a dragon in Isen. It's been many thousands of years in the making, but it happened and you heard it. Gilliff has regained her favourite form,
Cactanar the Dragon Emperor.
There's more info about Cactanar on our wiki, isen.fandom.com, if you want to learn more about what that story all is, words and happening things. What's going to happen next? Will our heroes overcome this powerful foe, or will they fall like many before them? I guess you're going to have to find out next time. A very grateful and appreciative and loving huggy smoochy boochy thank you to our awesome Patreon supporters. They are Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Iron Kutcher, Laura Christine Goodwin and Jace Blyser, Cydia Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Offmeyer, Sam Malcolm, Kadrin Faust, Lauren Flake, Kydela, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols, KP Squished, Alexandra Litkites, and Andrew Evans. We couldn't make this show at all if you weren't on our team. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. And if any of you out there are looking for some new dice or gaming accessories, make sure you check out our partners, MetallicDiceGames.com. They have amazing, beautiful stuff there, and you can get a sweet, sweet discount at the checkout using promo code FateOfIsen. And get in touch with us. It's pretty cool when people do that. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch. Those are all at FateOfIsen, or email FateOfIsen@gmail.com. Or jump on over to Discord. We're over there chatting and doing the things. Alrighty. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you later.
Oh, bruh. We're gonna have such a killer time at the top of this haunted ski resort.
I know, Chadwick. There's like no lines for the ski lift, dude.
But dump truck, what about the babes?
Oh, bro, you think I forgot about the babes? Two words, Chadwick. Ghost babes.
Now hold on a minute there, boys. You ain't planning on going up to that old haunted resort now, are ya?
What if we are, old man?
Well, I won't stop yous, but if you must go, you should take this.
The hell is this, old man?
Well, back in my day, we called it a Microsoft Zoom. We used to listen to a podcast called the Indie Film Review on it. A proud member of the Necroboticon Network. They were a movie review podcast that critically reviewed independent film while having a little fun in the process.
Sounds like dinosaur bullshit, Gramps. I'm gonna push you into a trash can now.
Well, butter my biscuits, I never want!
Well, dump truck, now that we've taken out the trash, looks like we've got an appointment with some ghost babes.
Listen to the Indie Film Review for the lowdown on the coolest indie films you've probably never heard of.
The Indie Film Review. It's not delivery. It's Indie Film Review.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.